Each year, you produce roughly 100 pounds of poop and 140 gallons of pee. Where does it all go? For most of us, the answer is simple. Nowhere we think about. We flush, and it vanishes. Out of sight, out of mind. But this convenient illusion hides a global crisis. Our waste doesn't disappear. It travels through aging pipes, overwhelms treatment plants, and too often ends up poisoning rivers, oceans, and communities. Meanwhile, billions of people worldwide lack even basic toilets, resorting to open defecation or makeshift latrines that endanger health and dignity. In some communities, people still resort to flying toilets, plastic bags filled with waste and tossed into streets or rivers. Yet something unexpected is happening. Toilets are becoming the center of a quiet revolution. Innovators are reimagining them not as mere disposal units, but as health monitors, resource generators, and environmental protectors. Bill Gates has invested $200 million in toilet innovation. Matt Damon co-founded an organization dedicated to global sanitation. Why? Because as climate change intensifies and resources grow scarce, rethinking our relationship with waste isn't just smart, it's survival. The toilet has become a paradox, civilization's savior and a driver of inequality, disease, and environmental harm. The flush toilet transformed disease-ridden cities into livable spaces. Ancient civilizations built sophisticated waste systems, Mesopotamian clay pipes, 4000 BCE, Indus Valley drainage, Roman sewers. The modern flush toilet evolved through Sir John Harrington's 1596 invention and Alexander Cummings' 1775 S-shaped pipe, which trapped water to solve odor problems. As toilets spread through 19th-century London, sewage overwhelmed the Thames, causing the Great Stink of 1858 and deadly cholera outbreaks. Cities responded with sewer networks and treatment plants using microbes to digest organic waste. Today's systems waste enormous amounts of clean water, energy, and nutrients. In Sneek, Netherlands, vacuum toilets demonstrate a better way. They concentrate waste locally, use anaerobic digesters to produce biogas for cooking and heating, convert nitrogen to gas and phosphorus to fertilizer, and recover heat from gray water. It's elegant and efficient, yet almost nobody wants to adopt it. Billions lack flush toilets. Hundreds of millions practice open defecation, while 700 million use unsafe pit latrines that become sludge bongs, often emptied by unprotected workers. In Cap-Haitien, Haiti, nonprofit Soil operates an unconventional service. Workers in safety gear collect sealed waste pails on three-wheeled motorcycles. No sewers exist here, and experts increasingly question whether traditional sewers make sense anywhere. Since Roman times, sewers have symbolized civilization, from London's 83-mile network built after the 1860s Great Stink to Chicago raising its entire city for gravity flow sewers. These were monumental achievements and monumentally expensive. The sewer boom has ended. Only 62% of urban dwellers have sewer access, unchanged since 2000, as cities outpace infrastructure. Developing better solutions requires new science and sometimes bizarre methods. When researcher Claire Furlong tested whether tiger worms could consume fecal sludge, she recruited Welsh volunteers calling themselves the Poo Club. London had no pit latrines to sample. When ulcerative colitis left Vic Kashop desperate, he took a radical step, infecting himself with Thai whipworms. Miraculously, his condition went into remission. This bizarre success sparked an obsession. If parasites could heal him, what else might his body reveal? He began tracking every health metric, eventually envisioning toilets as diagnostic devices, monitoring our health with every flush. Throughout history, humans have instinctively feared feces, developing elaborate rituals around defecation. Cholera killed thousands in 19th-century London until physician John Snow traced an 1853 outbreak to a sewage-contaminated well, establishing germ theory and transforming toilet design from ornate wooden furniture to simple white ceramic, fewer hiding places for germs. Different cultures have developed distinct toilet practices. Studies show squatting straightens the intestinal tract, making defecation faster and more satisfying, hence the squatty potty's popularity. Washing cultures find wiping cultures unhygienic, and vice versa. Yet one habit transcends culture. Almost everyone admits to examining their stool, recognizing its diagnostic value. Bill Gates became the face of the toilet revolution after witnessing poor sanitation firsthand. He rejected conventional sewers as too expensive, wondering if toilets could follow computers' path, transforming from giant infrastructure into personal devices. His foundation invested $200 million in leapfrog technologies, allowing poor communities to bypass traditional sewers entirely, just as mobile phones let them skip landlines. The Reinvent the Toilet Challenge funded university teams to develop off-grid toilets treating waste on-site without piped water. While Gates brought attention to sanitation, many experts found his technological demands unrealistic, potentially overshadowing practical solutions already working. We flush away 40 billion gallons of fresh water daily, nearly six times Africa's entire daily water consumption. Low-flow toilets have reduced water use from 3.5 to under 1.6 gallons per flush, but even these create problems. Germany's reduced usage caused stagnating, stinking sewers, requiring expensive fixes. San Francisco's rebate program resulted in hundreds of millions in sewer maintenance costs. During Cape Town's 2018 water crisis, residents cut consumption by over half, causing costly blockages from insufficient flow. When rains finally came, built-up material overwhelmed treatment plants, demonstrating how conservation can inadvertently break infrastructure designed for different conditions. Donating urine to Mothers for Mothers, a Dutch organization collecting pregnancy hormone HCG for fertility drugs, revealed an unexpected truth. Pee is valuable. Beyond enabling millions of births, urine contains phosphorus, an essential agricultural nutrient currently mined from geopolitically unstable regions. Scientists warn of peak pee when phosphate rock reserves run low. Innovative pee cycling projects are emerging. Malawian farmers apply aged urine directly, Vermont's Rich Earth Institute collects thousands of gallons annually, and Switzerland produces Oren, an approved plant fertilizer. Researchers are developing urine-based disinfectants, electricity, and biobricks. When Carl Pawlowski grew up in 1970s Quincy, Massachusetts, Boston dumped 350 million gallons of barely treated sewage daily into the harbor. Today, Pawlowski oversees the factory transforming Boston sewage sludge into fertilizer powering crops nationwide. Modern human urine composting echoes Victorian innovations like Reverend Henry Moule's Earth Closets and German researcher Ralph Otterpohl's Terra Preta Sanitation, inspired by ancient Amazonian soil making, where charcoal and bacteria transform feces into fertile soil. Black soldier fly larvae devour organic waste, producing protein powder for animal feed. Most promising is hydrothermal processing, which pressure cooks organic material to produce bio-oil and methane, potentially meeting 4% of U.S. jet fuel demand, or 25% combined with other wet wastes. In Surabaya, Indonesia, Pak Kun sells septic tanks door-to-door, like Victorian-era Thomas Crapper, who marketed flush toilets brilliantly. His three-part philosophy: first, I have to sell myself. Second, I have to sell my company. And third, I have to sell the product itself. There's no shortcut, just toilet by toilet by toilet. Our psychological relationship with toilets is complex. Disgust can overreact, making us less open to alternatives and more judgmental about unrelated moral issues. Our flush and forget tendency explains why we ignore sanitation until crises force attention. Recalled produce from fields without worker toilets, lack of facilities for the incontinent, sewage overflows during storms. Toilets function as tools of control and exclusion. Poultry workers wear diapers when denied bathroom breaks. Public toilets fail marginalized people, lacking accommodations for menstrual products or medications. Globally, a third of children lack basic sanitation at school. The toilet revolution won't happen through grand protests. It will happen through quiet conversations and innovative entrepreneurs. In Zambian slums, showing landlords that tenants would pay higher rent for better toilets led to measurable improvements. Your waste contains energy, nutrients, and health information. The question isn't whether we can reimagine toilets, it's whether we're brave enough to start the conversation.